I'm Chris.
Hey, Chris Ronji.
And now your host, Chris Ronji.
It is not Chris Ronji.
Good job there, Chris. Enjoy the day.
I'm not Chris Ronji.
Don't call Les.
Stop yelling at me, all right?
Ranger, love your show, but please, quit.
Shut up.
Z, shut up for 1 second and listen to me.
I don't really care about the rest of this update.
It's Chris Ronji on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It's sphincter clinching time.
Wow! I feel good. I
mean, I don't know if it's that right now. I wouldn't call it sphincter clenching time now. Now is a time to celebrate. Now is a time to be happy and rejoice for multiple reasons. One, it's time for football again. Two, the Cubs got a win today. Three, the White Sox are about to start a winning streak. I don't know about that. But it is the weekend. Hey, hello, everybody. My name is Chris Ronji, and I am very happy to be with you tonight. We are going to hang out, you and me. We're going to hang out for the next 3 hours until 9 o'clock, and we are going to take your phone calls and your text messages at 312-644-6767. I'm very happy to be hanging out with all y'all in Chicago tonight on the show. We are going to spend quite a bit of time talking about the Olympic bronze medal that Jordan Chiles is going to lose. That's not true, actually, but I do have a thing about that. We are going to speak a lot of Bears. We're going to be speaking about the Bears tonight because we're getting ready for a ball game tomorrow, 12 o'clock at Soldier Field. It'll be the third preseason game for your Chicago Bears. You can watch it on Fox 32. They will be taking on the Cincinnati Bengals, a team with which they have enjoyed some joint practices this week. And I do believe the game tomorrow is going to be fun. That's what it's all about. Fun. Doesn't matter if they win or lose. It's only if everybody has a good time. That's the only thing that we care about right now. So we will be discussing that with Mark Grody, who is going to join the show. Very much looking forward to talking to my buddy tonight. So he's going to be with us at 6:20. We are also going to talk a little Bengals football, get some inside baseball on the Bengals with a reporter who covers them in Cincinnati, who was at Hallis Hall during these joint practices. He is going to be visiting with us. Herb Howard on the show will talk some football, and Megan Montemurro will be discussing the Cubs with us. So that's the number one thing, the Bears and Bengals tomorrow. Also, the Cubs today with a 6-5 win. It took 10 innings to make that happen at Wrigley Field. And I got to tell you, I hate umpires. You know I hate umpires. If you've ever listened to me talk, you know I don't really like umpires that much. Yes, yes, I know. They do a good job most of the time. Yes, yes, I get it. Yes, I also understand that it really, in the end, did not affect the game today because they were able to come back and win. If you weren't watching and don't know what happened earlier today, Hector Neris, who, and I'm not taking anything away from his performance, which wasn't any good. I get it. He had a 3-run lead. He took it into the ninth inning. He blew it. So most of it is on him. But what are we doing calling balks when, yeah, it's kind of a borderline balk? I get it. But we're calling balks on a player who kind of sets the way he sets a lot anyway, especially when balks don't get called consistently enough by umpires around the league. They are so bad at being consistent, and balks happen all the time. But it is one ballsy move by Alan Porter to call that ball on what would have been a strike three on out two in the ninth inning, and this happened.
Maris leans in, gets the sign from Amaya, straightens up. He's ready. And now the 0-2. Called strike three! Maris freezing Jimenez with a slider.
Hold on, he just called a balk on Neris. Alan Porter said he has not come set, and he's waited until You get a man at third base, and now Craig Counsell coming out, and it just amazes me how these umpires wait until the biggest key situation, then you make a call. And you're like, he has done the same thing now, because I've been watching him the whole time. And he comes set. And now Alan Porter calls it. And I know that's what Craig Counsell's saying. You wait till now? You could have done that.
I mean, come on. Come on, man. Look, I fully understand. And I will not disagree with you on this. If you're in your car, or if you're listening on the Odyssey app and you're thinking, well, he balked. Yeah, he probably did.
He for
and
sure
I guess
did.
By the letter of the law. Yeah, okay, he did. Fine. Yes, he balked. But that happens all the time, and it doesn't get called. It's just it's one of those pet peeve things. And in the end, it didn't matter. Cubs got the win anyway. But that's the kind of thing that really drives me crazy. Why are we making those calls in those moments when they don't get made throughout the course of the game? And they do happen fairly regularly. That's it. That's my complaint. Yeah, I will stop grouching about it.
No, let me add to this, because I agree with you 100%. And it's one of those things where it's like, you're not even calling a balk for the reason it was supposed to be. It was put into the game. Like
the hitter,
like, no one thinks Hector Neris is trying to fool the runner or anything.
That's
He's
right.
just throwing the baseball. That's how he does it.
Sean Jimenez walked back to the dugout and didn't think twice about it.
Right. 100%. He was like, yep, I swung and missed. It's over. Who cares? Right.
Yeah. So he was walking back to the dugout and then stopped and went, wait, what? I still get the hit? Oh, okay. Didn't think that was going to happen. That's the kind of stuff that really gets under my skin when it comes to umpires. So let's go robots.
I'm there for it.
Sean, you know, I am so pro robot. I'm pro bot. That's what I am. Can't wait till it happens. But 6-5 final. Cubs did win in 10 innings, so that is very good news for them.
Don't tell me you want a robot umpire calling balls and strikes.
Sorry, Les. There's nothing I want more. I don't want anything more than that. If you could give me one wish, and it's only one wish, and it could be I could become a multi-billionaire, I can have perfect health and live another 100 years. I could have the power of a superhero like Superman, for example. I would not pick any of those things. What I would pick is umpires are replaced by robots. And really, it is the only industry in the entire world where I am okay with robots replacing humans. That's it. Truck drivers, no. Assembly line workers, no. We need those people to be able to do those jobs. Fast food, no. Robots for umpires, yes. Let's go. So the White Sox will take on the Astros tonight, and that game gets started at 7:10. But you don't need to watch or listen to that. You can just listen to me, because I'll be with you till 9 o'clock. Leading up to it, though, before we get to Mark Grody at 6:20, or after we get finished talking to Mark, I will allow you to White Sox yell at me if you want to. You're more than welcome to do that, because I posed a question a couple of weeks ago, almost on August 4th. When the Sox were in the midst of their 21-game losing streak, they had just lost their 20th on August 4th, and I tweeted out, at Chris Ranji, you can follow me there on Twitter, I said, I believe I am hosting a show on August 16th. How many wins do you believe the White Sox will have between now and then? And you know what? I think it's about what I expected. Two. They've won two times since August 4th. A lot of people guessed that as well. A lot of people guessed zero. I think that was the predominant guess. Zero. Which tells you exactly where Sox fans are. Brilliant. So baseball is quite something in the city of Chicago right now. So is football. And I don't want you to talk me out of it, and I'm not sure that you can talk me out of it, but let me tell you how I'm feeling right now. I don't know if there have ever been, in the history of football, seven non-game passes. Let me rephrase that. 7 non-games that matter passes that have ever occurred in the history of football that have me as excited as the 7 passes that Caleb Williams threw last week in his first preseason game. I don't know if 7 passes in a game that don't count have ever fostered the amount of excitement that I have right now. It's pretty unreasonable how I feel about Caleb Williams at the moment. It is totally unreasonable. I watched that game and I spent the last week partly tongue in cheek, but kind of also not telling people that he is going to be an MVP someday and maybe very soon. That's what I've been saying. And I don't know if it is looking back on history of the Bears quarterback position and knowing you guys know the history. You know the deal. You know how bad it's been. It has been so... I've been looking forward to somebody who is as good as I think this person is going to be, that I am looking at him in the most irrational, unreasonable way possible. At this point, I think it would almost be an upset if he doesn't turn into a superstar. We know he's going to be, at least initially, very popular in Chicago. That's just a done deal. People are starving for a good quarterback. You are starving for a good quarterback. You know that. The city's never really had a great one. It looks like we have a good one, probably great. And it's to the point where I'm already putting that on him. And I know that for a lot of people, they've done it since the draft. That, yeah, but surefire, this guy's going to be great. Very easily going to be the best quarterback they've ever had. But I have to tell you, I think it's probably closer to truth than anything else. And I feel irrational about it. I feel like every time I have these thoughts, and I do it a lot, where I think, okay, I know he's going to be good. I'm positive of it. He's going to be good. And then I'm forcing myself to take a step back and to think of a reason he won't be. And I'm having a very difficult time finding reasons that he won't be. And I love the feeling that I've got about him right now. And I really don't want it to go away, but I don't think it's going to. There are going to be some hiccups along the way. We know that he's going to have some issues now and then. He's going to throw a ball that we're all going to look at and go, what in the hell was that? Why did he do that? Uh-oh, maybe he's not very good after all. That's going to happen. But man, I don't know that I have ever been as sure of something that I really don't have enough information to make that call as I am sure of this. And yes, we do have a lot of information about him. We've got college tape. We have training camp. We know the way he's been behaving as a teammate. We know what he did during the preseason. We know how comfortable he looked in the pocket in game one against the Bills. We know all of those things. But what we don't know is how to, and I'm looking at this very pragmatically, you don't know how to extrapolate that over an entire career. You can't know. But I'm telling you, I feel as certain about something that I don't really have enough information on. I've never felt this certain about anything in that manner. I'm probably nuts. I feel like I'm crazy. But my God, does it feel good to be crazy right now? Let's do this. When we come back, let's talk to my guy, former, fellow, current Hall of Famer at Illinois State University, and he covers the Bears for 670 The Score. He's one of the greats. He's my guy, Mark Grody, and he will join us next on The Score.
The robot things, they'll malfunction just as much as human beings do.
We're back with host Chris Ronji on The Score.
What gives you optimism that it'll be better this year? The tight end himself, the new play caller, the new quarterback. What gives you the optimism that you guys will be more productive out of the two tight ends?
Yeah, well, I think all of the above. I think obviously with the receivers we got, I think it'll open up some stuff underneath for us. You know, Shane's had a history of using a lot of tight ends in a lot of different scenarios throughout his career. And, you know, I just honestly, I think the quarterback. I think that when you got a quarterback like we got, I think that helps the situation, and you know he's gonna be able to dish it around and get it to a lot of different guys. So I think that always helps the situation as well.
So that is Cole Kmet. We're all looking forward to the upcoming season, and we are looking forward to hanging out with you. I am looking forward to it. Sean Sears is producing the show back in the studio right now. From the Score Hyundai Studios, I'm Chris Ronji filling in tonight, and it is good to have you with me. You've got the phone number. We'll get to your calls a little bit later on in the show. We'll talk Bears. We will talk some Cubs. But again, a lot of Bears tonight, and we continue that with my guy, Mark Grody, who joins us on the Circus Sports Hotline, and he is with us now on 670 The Score. What's up, Grody?
Chris, word going around, I've been hearing things that you're pretty pumped up about the Bears. That's the word on the street. That's what I've been hearing on the St. Louis streets. That's what I've been hearing emanating from 50,000 watts of 670 The Score. Word is out that you are in.
You know what's weird? In the 5-minute commercial break we just had, I totally lost interest.
You were just doing radio.
You know what? I don't care anymore. I don't know what it is.
It was shtick. Come on strong, man. You know how it is. Got to get those phones flowing.
Buddy, it's good to hear from you. But yes, I am very much excited. Yeah, I know it's totally irrational. And maybe it's just because nothing bad has happened yet. So it hasn't allowed me to get in that place, and I am so sick and tired of bad things happening that I just it's like I don't want to entertain it.
Yeah,
but there's a weird psychological thing that I have going on, and I know this station more than any station I could think of in the entire world is so good at making people smarter. And I know a lot of people are going to be listening to that going, what are you talking about? You're a bunch of idiots. But I think that The Score historically has done a nice job of trying to be rational and teach people to be rational. And so I've taken that to heart over the years. But right now I am Mr. Meatball.
Well, I got to tell you, number one, there's been plenty of irrational at The Score through the years. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Hey.
Yeah.
When? What are you talking about?
I'll send you some bullet points later on. Hey, Chris, I've been irrational much of my career. But anyway, I don't think that you're being irrational. I think that our coverage and the reaction to what Caleb Williams did in his first preseason game has, and like, listen carefully, and I'm talking to the audience here when I say this more than you, Chris, because I know you're always listening. It has tilted slightly overboard, just slightly, though. Not like a ton. Like, it's just, because of what you just said, Chris, people want him to be great. People have told people this guy is going to be great. So then when we see confirmation via 7 plays in a preseason game, a lot of us are like, yep, there it is. I told you that's what, and some people like you, Chris, like you're going kind of into meatball mode, which I totally love. That you just say, yeah, that's got to be it right there, because you want it to be it so badly. So I totally understand, and I'm one of the people. Like, I having covered Justin Fields, it got to the point where I was definitely and succinctly saying, you've got to move on from Justin Fields, and you've got to try Caleb Williams, because of what I saw and reviewing what he was capable of. And then in those plays, we saw it, and we saw some of the, you know, we saw some elite stuff in that preseason game. So to say that you're being irrational, no, I don't think you're being irrational. It's just slightly tilted overboard at this point.
Okay, well, I don't care. I'm going to keep doing that. It's like here's what it is. You watch that just handful of plays in Buffalo, and it just had a different look to it. It had a real, and I'm not saying Justin Fields was incompetent, because I don't think he is. I still believe that even though he has flaws, they were coachable flaws. And I don't believe the organization did him any favors at all. And I still think there's something there. But on Saturday, you didn't have to squint very hard to see it. It looked right. It looked like a guy who was more than competent. He was certainly confident. He was going through his progressions. He threw the one ball that got batted down, turned into a penalty. That one I didn't like, but yeah. I mean, that's going to happen with every quarterback, but just for the most part, he looked the part of a real quarterback.
Yeah, he did. And you know, part of it is watch the plays that Shane Waldron was running for Caleb Williams. They clearly are catering to exactly the way he plays the game. And you could see, like, the plays that we saw, those 18 plays, go back and watch them, especially the ones where he's passing, because those are going to be real plays. That is the way Caleb Williams is going to operate in this season. So I think Shane Waldron did him some serious favors with the way that they ran the offense. And yeah, the way that he saw the field, and we could pick a play. I mean, there were so many. I mean, you want to talk about the Cole Kmet play, the run on the 3rd and 9. But I do like to come. The flip to DeAndre Swift was exquisite. But
yes.
The first one, man, the 3rd and 13.
The 13, yes.
And where he drills it into DJ Moore, and the beautiful part about it is Travis Homer and Kari Blassen game, his outlets, they're there, they're wide open, and it just feels like that was symbolic of what would have happened in the past, that Bears offensive coordinators and Bears quarterbacks and running backs and receivers have been famous for the Bears over the last 50 years for trying to get third downs throwing shy of the sticks. And so it was just a nice moment, I think, just in a larger picture sort of way.
There was no hesitance whatsoever to rip that ball where there were defenders in the immediate area at all. He had no reservations about it. And that was a pretty tight window for his first real attempt at a 3rd and long.
Yeah, right off the bat. And I think watching that, you're a little nervous for him in that spot. This is truly the big moment. This is what he is here for. This is what the guy who caught it, DJ Moore, and you know, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, that's what they're here for. And look, one of the things that the Bears did this year, Chris, that they didn't do in the past is they said, you, sir, are the starter from day one. From day one, you are absolutely going to be the guy. So when that is in his head and that is in the Bears' heads, I think that this makes it all different for him, and that's the right direction.
By the way, you're talking about him getting you're essentially talking about him getting the starting job and then therefore all the starting reps during practice pretty much right away. And Joe Burrow yesterday was talking about how important that was for him, and we're going to hear some of that a little bit later in the show. But that was one of the things that always bothered me with Fields, that unless they were just absolutely certain he couldn't handle it, they did him no favors whatsoever by not starting him. Again, we're past the Fields thing at the moment. I do wish him well in Pittsburgh, and I hope it all works out. But we're looking ahead now to tomorrow, and here's some really good news as it pertains to the Bears, Mark. They're getting healthy. They've got guys available right now. And yes, we're still a few weeks away or a couple of weeks away from the beginning of the regular season. But right now, health-wise, they're getting there.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll see some Montez Sweat out there tomorrow. Some of the guys in the secondary making their way back. Brisker and Gordon and those guys, Tyreek Stevenson. And of course, the most interesting man Bears, you know what I'm going to say, is Nate Davis.
Yeah.
Let's see if he actually plays tomorrow. You know, I mean, every time we've gotten excited about Nate Davis and, like, oh, he's actually practicing. It looks like he's going to play. It seems like something else happens and then he doesn't play, or he just plays for one series. So that'll be big. That'll be really big tomorrow to see if he is in and he plays and all of that.
So what is it with him and the idea that maybe he just doesn't like to practice? And that's, you know, obviously he's going to say that's not true. Do you think that's, there's really something to that, that maybe he just wants to get to the season and not go through all the other stuff?
Yeah, I mean, there's been whispers of that. I mean, he was even asked about it during the press conference that I think it was posed as, hey, there's been speculation that you don't like to practice, and is that true? And he said, no, that's not true, but he didn't get overly emotional about it. And he's never really – I've been part of a group of media that's talked to him now several times, and, like, he doesn't really give super – and nobody has to. I'm not ripping him for this, but he doesn't really give – super fulfilling, long explanations for anything. So I don't know that we're ever truly going to know. But what I do know is that I've heard, you know, I think there's some disappointment from within the Bears organization, and that those are the cookie crumbs that I have followed on this. Just knowing and hearing things that they may be just as concerned as you and I are, or anybody that's a Bears fan, that they'd sure like to see the guy that they brought in to be an anchor on this offensive line, and, you know, to some degree, and he's just not available. So, you know, while there is, you know, no actual proof of this, it just seems like you have a case of a guy that something is going on that we don't know about, and I think the Bears are maybe just as frustrated as everybody else.
Well, I think the thing that concerns all of us is you want your offensive line to be as intact and get as many reps together as possible because of who's behind them. And there is nobody in the organization more important than him and his development in his first year. So you want the situation to be as good as possible. He's already been put into a good one. And you want it to be maximized, right? So if you have some questions at right guard, I mean, I get that. Maybe it's not the biggest deal in the world, but it's not a nothing either.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy when you think about this season and the way we've all guessed, I suppose, as reporters, because sometimes that's what we're doing out at Hallett Hall. The initial guess was that Ryan Bates would be the center and, you know, Coleman Shelton would be the backup center, and you would ideally have Nate Davis in there. And now things have changed, that this, you could go into this season, and who knows what happens with Nate Davis, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that it's all shaken up now, that it could be Coleman Shelton at center, Ryan Bates at right guard, and then the rest, you know, fill in with the same guys. But yeah, this is not the ideal situation. Look, because I was saying it was unideal when there was just a competition for center, you know, when it was those two guys, with Bates and Coleman Shelton. I'm like, do you really want to begin the season now with a competition for center? You know, one of the most important relationships, quarterback and center. So, and now you have to deal with the potential that you're going to have changes on the inside as well. So, yeah, at the very least, this is not ideal. The good news is that the Coleman Shelton, Ryan Bates, and Matt Pryor, and all these guys have gotten a ton of time playing together. So it's not like you're just going to patch a bunch of guys together who don't have some sort of chemistry.
What do you think about this? And a lot of quarterbacks who come in their first year are not playing with perfect offensive lines. They don't have a lot to work with offensively because usually they're bad teams. This is a highly unusual case, as we have covered, you know, a million times over the last few months. But let's say the line that he walks into isn't perfect and maybe is flawed to a significant degree. Does he seem to you to be somebody who could overcome that in year one?
It's a great question. If the offensive line is not what we thought, as flawed as you said, if it's bad, I wouldn't expect any rookie quarterback to be able to overcome that. So I guess I would say probably no. I'm not saying he'd be a train wreck, but the Bears.
Well, yeah, like, that's what I'm more worried about. Would it ruin him? You know,
yeah,
would it be
I got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about C, man. I mean, they always talked about how the lack of talent on the O-line and the injuries and all of that kind of stuff that hurt him. So he didn't completely overcome it at the college level. So I totally understand that. But what if you're asking, yeah, would it ruin him mentally? I don't think so. He definitely comes across as a wholly confident guy that understands it and lives and breathes football and has had, you know, he's had this goal his whole life. So I can't imagine that if the Bears offensive line is no good this year, I don't think it would ruin him. But man, I hope it doesn't come down to that for the Bears. I really do.
Talking with Mark Grody on The Score. So tomorrow the starters are going to play. Caleb Williams is going to play. Is it going to be about what it was in game one or game two, I guess?
That would be, you know, Eberflus is doing a pretty good job of staying tight-lipped about it, but I would guess that would be right. And that would honestly, that'd be fine with me. I think like how about two good drives? And even if that means that you have to send them out there for a third time altogether. I mean, it felt so perfect last time that I'm like, just do that again. Just do 18 plays. You know, there's going to be a couple of drops. I understand that. Like, just do that again. But no, I would like, I think it will, in as far as quantity, I do think it'll be something similar, and I'm really glad the starters are playing just because, you know, they need it. And it's the only preseason game at Soldier Field, so I do think it's cool that the fans will get a glimpse of Caleb Williams that may not have gotten to see him live otherwise.
Yeah, so maybe he plays just a little bit more than last time, and I'd be perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
You've got to worry about injury, but it can't just completely handicap everything you do.
Of course. And like the Bears, one of the things that they talked about doing differently, this, I mean, from the beginning, they were pretty transparent about that they were going to play Caleb Williams more in the preseason because we were asking those questions and OTAs and all the way back. And they're like, we do want to play our quarterback more, which is a, you know, departure from the last few years, even going back to Matt Nagy. So yeah, that's on the list of things that the Bears, they haven't put things over the top yet, but they have done things differently this year in a good way, which they hadn't done in a while.
So other than health and other than what you said you wanted to see from Caleb Williams, and I think what we all agree on the same, what we want to see from him, just kind of give us what you gave us last game or something close to it, and we'll feel pretty good. What will you be looking for otherwise tomorrow?
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, offense number one for sure. But I cannot. Well, I had a blast watching Austin Booker. Just him zeroing in on number 94 last week was fun. And I don't know if it was real. I have no idea. Maybe he's still a project. Maybe he's still a red shirt, as some people were saying, you know, after he was drafted. But I want more of that. I want to see more of that. And the defensive line in general, you know, we're getting pretty close to last call for Dominique Robinson. He had a nice game. So I want to see if he can, you know, follow that up. Khalid Kareem looked like a monster in the fourth quarter for the Bears. And then Zach Pickens is a guy that Zach Pickens was really good in the preseason last year and then was not particularly impactful during the regular season, but he's got a motor. He's got, between him and Austin Booker, you talk about young guys with big motors. I'm definitely looking forward to watching those guys. And then, well, I guess one more thing on defense. There's something that's been going on defense in training camp. I know we saw it last week in the preseason game. It seems like a slightly more aggressive version of the 4-3 in terms of creativity and going after the quarterback until, you know, if they feel like they need to, you know, compensate a little bit for not having a second really sturdy defensive end. And we've seen a lot of linebacker blitzes, a lot of TJ Edwards doing that. Tremaine Edmonds had the blitz and the deflect last week. So I'll be interested to see too, if actually that was Eric Washington calling the defense last week. So I'll be interested to see if he's calling plays again, and if we'll continue to see that slightly more aggression from the defense.
I want you to project it right now for me, if you can. How many more appearances do you think you make on Hard Knocks?
Do we really need another one of those?
Yes. If there's anybody outside the organization, off the field, in the front office, coaching staff, if there's anybody outside of that I need to see, it's you. I don't care about anybody else. Maybe a Chris Emma. I'd kind of like to see Chris Emma once.
Don't worry about Emma. Don't worry. He had his voice on the first episode, so
I heard that.
You could check him off. So
yeah, okay, you're right. Good point.
Yeah, you could probably check me off. How about a Hub Arkish?
That would be great.
Yes, I think like a Hub close up and just like, hey, how's it going? What's Hub? Hey, what's up? Hi.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Okay. Yeah, you know what? But I still want to see you in those glasses, your 670 The Score glasses.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I had The Score glasses on, man. Those are my most dependent. They're the ones that survive. I've probably had those shades for 10 years. I've lost all the expensive ones, but somehow those things always survive. They're always, and I'm like, oh, yeah, The Score glasses. I'm set. And then I get a close-up on HBO. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Dude, I love you so much.
I love you too, Chris.
All right. Go away. Enjoy the game tomorrow and continue your terrific coverage of the Chicago Bears.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Mark. Hey, Mark, real quick, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, buddy.
Do you have a new Twitter account? Is there something wrong with your tweets?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mark, tell them about your Twitter.
Yeah, what's going on with your tweets? I tried to tweet at you the other day, and your tweets are all messed up.
Yeah, man. So, at Mark Grody Sports, the Twitter handle I've had since
hacked?
Like 20, hacked and destroyed, basically.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, so all of those, I don't know what to do with all those followers. They're all stuck over there. They're in danger, I think.
Uh-oh.
So, no, I'm just kidding. They're not in danger. But it's the weirdest thing. I've tried everything to get it back. So, I'm doing a rebuild. I've got a Twitter rebuild happening. I'm glad you asked because nobody thinks that it's a real account.
Grody Sports.
At Grody Sports is my new Twitter handle. So,
yeah,
thank you for asking. I appreciate getting that out there whenever I can because people are confused.
Yeah, we got to get them back to Mark Grody. They miss you, man. But he's never left. That's the thing, guys. Mark never left you.
Yep. And you know what's neat is I just saw that Chris Ronji followed me. And
just now.
I just gave the old follow back because it's account, folks. If I followed you before, don't worry, I'll get to you. This has all been very demoralizing.
And whoever this is, I kind of feel like there's another Mark Grody out there who lives in Washington. And he's an author and a church leader. I kind of want to bully him off of Twitter, to be honest.
That's very on brand for you if you're going to bully somebody.
Let's bully him off Twitter so that you can have his.
I think that's a great idea.
Hey, you.
I mean, he just.
Hey, Sears, get his number. Let's call him. Hey, it's Grody Ronji. How's it going, man? Size him up a little bit.
Oh, this guy's Twitter account is something, too. He's just retweeting Elon Musk and he loves Trump.
Oh,
okay.
Man. He's got a need at least, right? Maybe he can at least help
Actually, that'd be perfect for you to take this account over and people tweet at him thinking it's you. You just get a bunch of political tweets.
Do you realize what actually happened? I think my theory on my own account getting destroyed was there was somebody posing as me with my picture was at Mark Grody Sport as opposed to sport. And then I think that people complained about the wrong one. So I don't know.
Yeah,
it's all, you don't care. You don't care.
I care about you and I'm sorry that happened, buddy. We're going to build you back up though.
Okay.
So follow him, follow Mark Grody at Grody Sports.
Okay. Well, that was nice. Okay. I do feel a little bit, but now I think maybe you are being authentic now. I guess.
Get out of here. Goodbye.
See you, buddy. Bye.
I think maybe you are being authentic. What a jerk. Mark Grody joining us on The Score hotline. presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Can I tell you something? When I talk to Grody on the air, we're doing an interview, I have to be very careful to use my professional words because and to not use the words I really like, because it feels like I'm just having a phone call with him and nobody else is listening. So I had to be very careful there. Anyway, that's Mark Grody. He will be covering for the Bears tomorrow, or covering the Bears for the Score tomorrow. It is a 12 o'clock kickoff from Soldier Field. They're taking on the Bengals. We are way late for a break, dudes. Back in a moment, Chris Ronji on the Score.
We're back with host Chris Ronji on the Score.
Baseball coverage on the Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We are going to talk a little bit of baseball in the 7 o'clock hour. When we come back, we're going to visit with Megan Montemurro, who covers the Cubs, and she will be with us. She is with the Chicago Tribune, of course. They won a game today at Wrigley Field after blowing it in the ninth inning, but they do get a very important win as they try to claw their way back into the wild card race. Right now, it is a precarious situation for them, and we will discuss all of it coming up. I am Chris Ronji, very happy to be with you from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We're going to talk a lot of Bears tonight as I'm with you until 9 o'clock. We'll also get some Bengals perspective as well from Fox 19 reporter in Cincinnati, Jeremy Rausch. Herb Howard's going to join the show in the 8 o'clock hour. We got a lot coming up. I'm Chris Ronji. This is 670 The Score.
We're back with host Chris Ronji on The Score.
Baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We are going to talk a little bit of baseball in the 7 o'clock hour. When we come back, we're going to visit with Megan Montemurro, who covers the Cubs, and she will be with us. She is with the Chicago Tribune, of course. They won a game today at Wrigley Field after blowing it in the ninth inning, but they do get a very important win as they try to claw their way back into the wild card race. Right now, it is a precarious situation for them, and we will discuss all of it coming up. I am Chris Ronji, very happy to be with you from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We're going to talk a lot of Bears tonight as I'm with you until 9 o'clock. We'll also get some Bengals perspective as well from Fox 19 reporter in Cincinnati, Jeremy Rausch. Herb Howard's going to join the show in the 8 o'clock hour. We got a lot coming up. I'm Chris Ronji. This is 670 The Score.